So just with this mission, we have the three nights that we'll be going over, considering the passion of our Lord, according to Archbishop Alban Goodyear. So with that, I'll be using that kind of as a basis, dealing with the sacred tritium, the sacred 3 days, kind of going through some of the steps with that. There will also be the opportunity, obviously, for confessions. So after the conference, conferences are roughly 30 minutes to 45 minutes each. Then after that, I'll just go straight back to the confessional. You'll have an opportunity if you want to make a regular confession, or if you wanted to make a general confession, the only thing I ask, if you try to wait maybe to the end of the line for the most part.
But the confessions, I'll hear confessions until they end, so the last penitent, so regardless of time-wise. So we'll have that. So otherwise, I mean, remember, with a mission, and especially with making a confession during the mission itself, there's special graces that are attached to that. So take advantage of those opportunities as you prepare yourselves for the Feast of Easter. And hopefully this will be a help to you, a preparation in terms of that as we look over the passion of our Lord. So there is obviously much written on the passion. There's devotional books, certainly, that inspire us to, in our Christian life, to follow Christ, to be a true follower of Christ, to know Jesus Christ crucified, as St. Paul says. There's also the histories of the passion for us to contemplate, you know, in terms of the details itself, you know, our Lord's death and the nature of the trials that he underwent. And then also there is finally the describing of the passion, we can say, not just as it took place in a historical aspect in the hearts and the minds of those who, you know, witnessed it or saw it, but especially according to our Lord as being the central figure. And that is, I think, to understand for us the passion and what our Lord underwent is beyond our reach. But I think the more that we read, the more that we see what our Lord suffered for all of us, I think that can help us, one, to have that compassion, that suffering with someone else. And then certainly we apply that maybe to our own sufferings that we go through in life. We try to unite ourselves to our Lord and his passion. And especially in this time period now, as we enter into Holy Week, you know, as I mentioned to you, Passiontide itself, the 2 weeks of Passiontide, they are a special time period of many graces for our souls. And I think that's something that we need to reflect upon, we need to think about. And as the liturgy gives us so much to consider, with each of the masses itself, but now especially because we have the four gospel accounts of the Passion. We heard St. Matthew's yesterday and Palm Sunday, and then tomorrow, and then Wednesday we have Mark and Luke, and then on Good Friday we end with the Gospel of St. John. And I think that's where then, as I say, with our own sufferings that maybe we undergo, we can understand a bit what the passion was like for our Lord. I mean, that is why we see the saints many times. They have valued suffering so much because they wanted to be a follower of Christ. And as St. Paul tells us so many times in his epistles, you know, I live not I, but Christ liveth in me. We follow Christ crucified. And that is where we try to unite then the passions, the passion of our Lord, with our own sufferings and what we undergo and what we suffer ourselves. And so that's why then for me, just to try to take from this book written by Archbishop Goodyear, his passion, he follows very closely the evangelist, quoting many times from the different gospels. And I think that's where that is our true understanding of the passion of our Lord comes from, is from the gospel accounts itself. And I think that's helpful for us to read over the gospels. As I say, we see them during Holy Week. But for us to be familiar with what they bring out for us to meditate upon.
And so certainly it is difficult for us to try to condense the work of the Passion or an author who writes about the Passion and death of our Lord. I mean, as you can see, it's a fairly good-sized book. To condense that into, you know, just three conferences. But that's where we try to look at some of the highlights
that he brings out. And so tonight we'll consider some of the events of Holy Thursday. Tomorrow night we will look at the events of our Lord's agony, until then the morning trials. And then finally on Wednesday we'll look at our Lord's scourging until the very end. And I think it's good for us to reflect in these 3 days of what does the Passion mean to me? And then also, how do I apply that to my daily life or to my spiritual life? So as I say, as we look at the Last Supper, you know, our Lord had given warnings to his disciples about he would have to undergo his Passion. He says to them very clearly, "And the Son of Man shall be delivered to be crucified." And again, we see in sacred scripture how the apostles a lot of times did not quite understand some of the things that our Lord said, the true meaning behind them, or even to the point of, you have, you know, St. Peter saying that he would never let our Lord suffer like that. And the reproach that our Lord gives to him sounds very severe to us. "Get behind me, Satan." But if you've read any of Archbishop Sheen, he talked very much about
that the devil in his temptations was trying to draw our Lord away from the cross. And that is what that our Lord, in some ways we can say, said to St. Peter, because again, he was trying to draw him away from the mission, the cross, and the sufferings that he would have to undergo in order to redeem mankind. And that's why he was so strong in saying to him, "Get behind me, Satan," because St. Peter at that time
didn't know what he was saying, but he was trying to draw our Lord away from the mission that the Father had given to him. And then also the prophets spoke many times concerning the betrayal, the false accusations against our Lord, the sufferings he would undergo, and even to the point of his followers deserting him. And so again, when we look at Holy Thursday, at the Last Supper, I mean, that is where then the Mass of the Last Supper for us in Cena Domini. It is such a beautiful Mass because it does commemorate the fact that our Lord instituted the priesthood and instituted the Holy Eucharist. And we can say in that night, the heart of our Lord revealed itself in all its magnificence. It would be the last time in his mortal flesh that our Lord would be with all of his disciples around him. He knew that, but they did not. And his hour had come. St. John makes mention of this in his gospel. He says, "Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end." A beautiful way for St. John to sum up our Lord's mission. To sum up what he came for, and that was he loved his own, and he was willing to die for all of his own. And so again, as I say, the Last Supper, it shows the true heart of our Lord. You know, you think about it in St. John, it has the discourse of our Lord to his apostles. And the beautiful words that he tells to them, I mean, obviously highlighted by the fact that he calls them friends. That he calls them to this life. So therefore, when our Lord sat down with his 12 apostles, only them, for this Paschal supper, he says, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Pasch with you before I suffer." And again, the apostles did not quite understand what our Lord was referring to. I mean, they had followed him for 3 years. They had seen the miracles. They had seen our Lord's preaching. They heard what he said. But how much did they grasp that? They didn't understand all of this. What our Lord was preparing them for. And so certainly when we reflect back at that week, you know, you have the triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, what we celebrated just yesterday with Palm Sunday. You hear the people saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." You know, spewing the palm leaves out in front of him. We can say the applause of the multitude, the defeat of the scribes, that at that point they dared not ask him any further questions. But yet we would have it to where then the people would be crying out soon after that on Good Friday to crucify him. So clearly the kingdom of God was at hand. And that's where the archbishop in his book, he makes mention of obviously Judas. And again, to us, a lot of times we wonder that here you have one who was with our Lord for 3 years. You know, what happened to him? What happened to his soul? Of how you can have someone who was so closely with our Lord for those 3 years of his public ministry, and yet he betrays our Lord. And I think that's a reflection that we have to try to see. I mean, certainly our Lord knew that he would betray him. And yet our Lord calls him to be an apostle. Many will say that he was given the task of, you know, holding the money for the apostles. And maybe in some ways that avarice set in, the deadly sin of avarice. I mean, just tonight we saw in the gospel account of how he felt the using of, you know, this ointment of anointing our Lord was a waste of the 300 denarii that could have been used for the poor. It was the excuse that he used. And our Lord says, you will always have the poor with you, but I will not always be with you. And so that is where he brings out of talking about one in the group in particular stood out amongst them. He says, "Judas was there, the man of affairs, whom on the account the rest had learned to respect and in some sense to follow. Judas, the one well-balanced mind among them, who was never deceived by enthusiasm, never made mistakes, who knew the value of things and men, who never trusted others too much, who could be relied upon to set matters right when the folly of others put them wrong, who never lost his self-control, no matter how much he stirred others, who was prudent and wise." But again, you see the term wise in terms of worldly things. And so again, the author brings these things out because it is a mystery of iniquity, of here you have one who was called by our Lord to be an apostle, to be closely united to our Lord, who spent 3 years in public ministry and yet went astray. You know, we ask the questions why. But that's where the reflection comes for us. How many times have maybe we fallen into a mortal sin? Even though God has given us so much. I mean, God gave his Son to us to die on the cross to redeem us. Our Lord then in turn institutes the Holy Eucharist for us. We have that opportunity, that chance to receive him, to have him within us. And yet we choose something else. And so, yes, we can wonder what happened to Judas. But also the reflection comes for us, what happens to us? Why do we choose something else? Again, when our Lord gives us so much. And so the author goes on to say, all this Jesus read in the heart of Judas. He knew all of this. And that's where our Lord also knew what Judas would do on Holy Thursday. And where he tells him, do it and do it quickly. And so again, our Lord knew that there was one amongst them that would betray him. Again, our Lord says that very clearly at the Last Supper to the apostles, to where they questioned, who was it? And I think that's something that's important for us. Then our Lord knew that one would go to betray him. But again, we know this was all part of the plan for our redemption, that our Lord would have to suffer these things in order for him to resurrect from the dead. It's hard for us to grasp that. It's hard for us to understand that. But I think we have to try to reflect on these things. And so again, our Lord didn't treat him any differently, even though knowing that Judas would betray our Lord. So our Lord could read his heart. He knew what he was planning to do. And yet, our Lord still showed the love to Judas. And so when our Lord goes to wash their feet, I mean, that is where we see the true humility of our Lord. You know, that he would go to wash all of their feet, again, even Judas, knowing what Judas would do. But our Lord would do this to give them that example. That's what our Lord says to them. That our Lord was trying to form them as his priest, as another Christ. That then they would go out, then therefore to carry on the mission of our Lord. To go to preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But our Lord gave them that example, and he says to them, I have given you this example, that you are meant then to do it to each other. And so when you reflect again on Judas, and so the author brings out, and when the supper was done, the devil having now put into it the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came from God and he goeth to God, he riseth from the supper and lay it beside his garments, and having taken a towel, girded himself, and after that he put water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And so again, you see the priest does that on Holy Thursday. That he follows that example of our Lord. And that is what our Lord wanted for them, is to follow his example. And so that is why then the 12 looked on in amazement. And only one protested against it was St. Peter. And obviously we know with St. Peter, his impetuosity. And you think about, and the author brings out some of the quotes of St. Peter. And you think about St. Peter saying to our Lord, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And then also, as I brought up a little earlier, about our Lord saying to him, "Get behind me, Satan." There was that impetuosity in his character. And so he is the one that asked our Lord, "Dost thou wash my feet?" And he says, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." We can see he is embarrassed by our Lord being the master to do that to his disciples. Our Lord answers him, "If I wash thee not, thou shalt have no part with me." So our Lord very clearly says to him, "If I don't wash your feet, then you will have nothing to do with me." And so then again, you see the impetuosity of him. He says, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And our Lord tells him at that time, he's like, "That is not necessary." And also that is where our Lord says that not all of you are clean. The reference to, again, Judas. And our Lord says, "One of you has a devil." And so you can just imagine our Lord knowing all that he had done for his apostles and yet to be betrayed. You know, thinking about this Holy Thursday, that our Lord would take this time to be with them exclusively, ordaining them priest, instituting the Holy Eucharist, and yet on this very night, Judas would betray him. And we can say the first sacrilegious communion because of it. Because he allowed the devil in him. And I think that's where we need to reflect on all that our Lord does for all of us. Yes, we can look at Holy Thursday and see the institution of the priesthood. We can see the institution of the Holy Eucharist. And then as we go forward in seeing the sufferings that our Lord went through, it wasn't necessary. But out of love, our Lord did all of it for us. In order to save us, in order to redeem us. And I think that's where then we can make these reflections for ourselves too. You know, one, you think about the humility that our Lord shows in washing of the feet. Mentioning to them that is something that they need to follow that example of our Lord. but also to reflect upon that in the sacrament of penance. You know, our Lord goes through and says in sacred scripture, then after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, being sat down again, he said to them, know you what I have done to you? You know, do you understand what I have done? He says, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then I, being Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought also to wash another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you do also. Amen, amen, I say to you, the servant is not greater than the master, neither is the apostle greater than him that who sent him. And so our Lord instructs them of, yes, you need to follow the example that I have given to you. And that's why I say that I think it's also a reflection for us when we think about the sacrament of penance, the humility that is needed. In going to confess our sins to another person, obviously the priest stands in the place of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it still doesn't make it any easier than having then to have that humility to mention those things to the priest. But again, our Lord gives us this example of his humility and says to them that, you know, the servants aren't greater than the master. I have given you this example that I want you to follow. And that is, I would say, we see the true willingness of our Lord to save souls, to do whatever he needed to do in order to save them. And I would say that's where we see the true love of the Sacred Heart for souls. His willingness to sacrifice his life for us. I mean, obviously the humility, not only in what he was doing in washing their feet, but the humility in suffering what he suffered for us. Again, as I said, it wasn't necessary, but our Lord wanted to show his love for us. I mean, truly that self-abasement of all that he would go through, all that he would suffer for us. That ultimately resulted in his ignominious death on the cross. And I think that's what's important for us then as we've come to this Holy Week. As I mentioned with Passion Tide, it is meant for us to reflect upon what our Lord has suffered for us. I mean, that is why the church then veils everything for us to focus on our Lord's passion, his suffering on the cross, and his death ultimately on the cross. But these are also reflective in the Holy Eucharist, that it shows the humility of our Lord, that he was willing to leave himself for us, to be with us until the end of the world. We refer to the Holy Eucharist as the sacrament of love. And that we also know that the Holy Eucharist is not only a sacrament, but it's also a sacrifice. And so these reflections for us, we see that the proof of our Lord's love that he gives to us, and that he leaves himself to strengthen us. And so what does he ask in return from us? I mean, he truly wants our love. And how do we illustrate that? How do we show that? Us being united to him. United in grace, but certainly also united in our sufferings, our crosses, our trials. As we try to self-abase ourselves, that we have that humility that our Lord gave us that example of, and that's why he says to the apostles, I've given you an example. It is something that you are meant to follow. And so that humility is meant for us, and certainly the charity, the love that our Lord shows to us, that we are meant to also to follow. And so that is why it's important for us to receive him in true love, wanting to be united to him. And again, our Lord left himself for us as a strength. And also for us to have that purity of heart. That our love is meant for our Lord. I mean, certainly the natural love that we have in this life is meant to be an illustration of ultimately the love that we have for Almighty God. And so when you show love for family members, for your friends, it is an illustration of ultimately the love that you have for Almighty God. That is shown through how you treat others. And so again, that's what our Lord was trying to give the apostles as that example. Of there you see with that he says, I've given you an example, you are meant to follow that. And what does he say also at the Last Supper? Do this in remembrance of me. For the apostles to carry on, for the priests to carry on, being able to consecrate the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, for all of us to be able to receive. And therefore we receive him in all love and purity of heart. And so again, that is what we see in the Mass of, in Cena Domini, the Last Supper, Holy Thursday. And that is why that feast day is such a beautiful day. I mean, yes, it ends with the stripping of the altar. And that our Lord is dragged away. But if you think about the Mass itself, that we see these gifts that our Lord gives, the priesthood and the Holy Eucharist, that he shows that he wants to be with us, to abide within us. And that is how we are meant to live our lives, to always be united to Christ. And therefore, that is why it's meant to be shown through our actions. The purity of intention, the true love that we have, that it's illustrated in how we treat others around us. So I would encourage you to truly try to see what our Lord is giving us as an example. I mean, there is so much in the liturgy of Holy Week. And so take the time to reflect. Take the time to, if you can, come to the ceremonies, especially of the sacred triduum. Because they are the pinnacle of our liturgical year. And why? Because they build up to the Feast of Easter, which is the whole reason of our faith. And that is why the church gives us such a long time period to prepare, that we have, obviously, the pre-Lenten period, and then we have the 3 weeks of the pre-Lenten period, then we have the 6 weeks of Lent, as this preparation for the great feast of Easter. And then we have these sacred 3 days of these beautiful ceremonies that give us so much of our faith through symbolism, through the meaning of the prayers that are at these ceremonies. That's why it's so important for us then to try to delve into understanding what the church gives us to reflect upon during this week. I mean, here you have an author who wrote a whole book on just the passion and death of our Lord. I mean, there's many other authors that have also written on the passion of our Lord. And then you have the four gospel accounts that the church gives us to reflect upon during this week. I mean, so there is so much for us to be able to reflect upon, to consider during this time period. Don't waste this week. Reflect, think about your soul, make a good confession during this time period. The opportunity of grace is there for you. And certainly God will reward you for coming to the mission, taking that extra time out to be able to hear the conference, to reflect, and maybe, like I say, go to confession. In preparing your soul for the sacred 3 days, but then ultimately for the Feast of Easter. Because it is the culmination of our faith. I mean, that is why St. Paul says, if our Lord did not resurrect from the dead, our whole faith is in vain. It amounts to nothing. And so, yes, we know that our Lord did resurrect from the dead. And therefore, that is why our faith means so much to us. But we've got to reflect upon it. We've got to follow that example that our Lord gives to us. But to reflect and to see, what is he expecting out of us? Our love in return. And that is what the only thing our Lord is asking from us, to return the love that he gives to us. So reflect upon that in your life. Reflect upon that in this Holy Week. And ask for the graces to help you to truly take that opportunity and to reflect upon that. So therefore that you can go forward, you know, if you have some sins, different things that are holding you back, that you'll be able to break away from those chains. That you can truly give our Lord your heart, because that is what he is asking from us. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.